Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two, brought to you by GoPSURV.com. This is where you can drive your own car to Happy Valley for a game. And the RV is all set up and waiting for you. No hassling with parking, as a shuttle will take you to and from the game. Tailgate all weekend. For more information, go to GoPSURV.com, or you could call Mark at 800-519-8467. I'm Jim Galante, along with T. Frank Carr. T. Frank, in quarter number one, we talked about Penn State's win over Maryland last week. This segment, we're going to talk Michigan coming up. Noon game, Beaver Stadium, the Wolverines coming to town. And let's talk about Michigan a little bit. Let's start on their defensive side. And it seems like if we talk Michigan defense, we're talking about the two defensive ends, aren't we?
Yeah, and they kind of dictate the action for most offenses, where you have to account for them and you have to adjust what you want to do based on the fact that you can't give them too many opportunities at your quarterback. And that's the game. To me, that's the game right there for Penn State is, are they going to be able to operate a pass-heavy offense with some quick passes? But Penn State wants to throw the ball into the intermediate part of the field. They want to diagnose and dissect zone coverage. And can they block on the edge? So far, it's been mixed results from the tackles. Some ugly losses for both Rasheed Walker and Caden Wallace. Last week against Maryland, Caden Wallace had... It was really bad. I think everyone saw how bad that sack he gave up was. That wasn't a particularly strong front. So that's going to be a big part of this game is, can you block those guys and can you find a way around it? If you can, then there are players to take advantage of in the secondary for Michigan. But, you know, overall, it's a good defense. You know, there's no, like, weak area I've seen on film where you definitely want to attack X. They are pretty good from front to back.
Well, let's talk about the defensive ends versus Penn State's two tackles. You mentioned Caden Wallace last week making a bad mistake. How does Penn State, how do they help their tackles?
Getting separation. So, you know, I think that's tough because, you know, you can chip, you can max protect. But then if you do that, you're taking players out of the route. And that's one of the things I saw that teams have been doing against Michigan is max protecting, trying to keep a couple guys in. And what that does is it limits your options and makes you hold on to the football. It also gums up the running lanes to get out of the pocket if you're the quarterback. So there's a plus and a minus to helping them. So really, to me, the way you win this is get separation and get the ball out on time. Just have... This is going to be a lot on Mike Yurcich, and it's going to be a lot on the receivers to make Sean Clifford's life a little bit easier, where he's not having to hold the ball and double clutch and just get the ball out. Because Michigan, the other thing that they've done more so than in the past, they still play a lot of man coverage, still play a lot of, you know, cover one with their safety deep and then, you know, guys in the box and press man coverage. But they've incorporated more cover two, more cover six, you know, more zone coverages that they can disguise the coverage pre-snap a little bit better. And when you do that against Sean Clifford, he has gotten better, but that's going to be an area where he's got to be on his game. I think he did a good job last week, but there's more variety and better players with the coverage scheme in the secondary, so that's going to be a big part of it.
When you look at Rasheed Walker and Caden Wallace, I believe a lot of fans were very excited about these bookend tackles. Rasheed Walker was considered to be a very high draft pick coming up in next year's NFL draft. And I believe the feeling was Caden Wallace was next in line. Although I believe you have been saying, be careful, not a lot of experience there yet. How do you assess the fact that it looks like both of them have taken a step backwards?
Well, so the Caden Wallace thing to me is much more cut and dried of... Last season, when he was inserted into the lineup more on a full-time basis, Penn State stopped throwing the football. Like, almost entirely. They threw swing passes. They threw some downfield, but they just limited his exposure to being for us to discovering more information about him as a pass blocker. So that's why it was such an incomplete information for me. I didn't take a lot from his ability in that it was so different than what they're going to be doing this year. So that was my biggest question is, what is the upper end of Caden Wallace? He is big and physical, and he looks good, but does he play? And that's been something that I think we've answered pretty definitively. Rashid Walker, I don't know. Genuinely, I don't know. This is an area where I did a thing on Phil Troutwine yesterday, and this has been the talk of redoing somebody's mechanics. And sometimes when you rework a guy's mechanics at the position, how you move your feet, how you run block, how you engage, how you use your hands, all of that pre-programmed information in your brain, you're trying to rewrite it. And for a guy that late in his career, that's tough. Guys have had to do it at the NFL level, and they've struggled and come back a year later, and it's been better. You know, and those are guys that were top five picks that struggled. Rashid Walker is physically talented, but it seems like there are some mental lapses, too. The other thing is there are just some mental lapses where he's not picking up stunts. He's not alert. He's not passing things off. And kind of, I don't want to say basic mistakes, but a guy that's a redshirt junior at this point should be making those plays instead of going, oh, well, I missed that one because that was a good play by the defense. He's supposed to be, from a physical standpoint and from a maturity standpoint, putting it all together, and it really has not gotten there. Now, he hasn't been bad. Let's be clear. He has not been bad. He has not been elite, which is what I think a lot of us were expecting based on his skill. I think he'll have a fine enough time with David Ajabo if he draws that matchup. Some pressure, sure, but I think he's more than up to the task of playing those guys to a relatively manageable amount of pressure with him and Aiden Hutchinson. Caden Wallace is the one that I don't think physically has the ability to block these guys. So that's the biggest problem.
Gotcha. All right, let's talk about the running game a little bit because, oh, well, we have to. It's the running game.
Right.
And did you see anything in the Maryland game, any glimpse of hope? In reality, the running backs, if you go strictly by yardage per carry, I believe the three running backs averaged about 4.5 yards per carry. Did you see anything that was a glimmer of hope? Let's put it that way.
So John Lovett got 20 yards at the end of the half, so that helps, on plays where there were four people in the box and everyone was okay with him getting 5 yards carry, so that helps that average. But I thought Kevon Lee took a real step forward as far as his decisiveness and his vision. So a lot of times he is indecisive at the line of scrimmage if it's not there and it's not obvious. There was one play in particular where Penn State's running a counter, which is they're pulling the backside tight end, Brenton Strange, and an offensive lineman. And Maryland blocked it up at the point of attack. There was no point. There was no hole. There was just three bodies where he was supposed to go. So one thing you don't typically do is you don't cut backside into the open hole created by the guard pulling. But it was there. So whether the defense over-pursued or the guy that was coming down late, the safety filling, was not there, he makes a decision, he goes through that hole, and at the point of contact, he lowers his shoulder pads and runs through the safety. That's everything that they've wanted him to do all season long. Be decisive, be downhill. Even if you're not running to the original point of contact, just get downhill. You're bigger and stronger than everybody else, and lower your pads. Again, you're a big dude. Lower your pads, win the leverage, and he did that. There were also a couple plays in outside zone where he was very good at getting to the point of attack. It was there and obvious, and then he ripped off a 10, 12-yard run. So some signs of life there. And then he was good in the passing game. Noah Cain was good in the passing game. I don't expect any of that in this game. It's a different front. They're a better run defense team. They emphasize it. So I wouldn't expect any of those things to continue. But at the same time, positive signs that it won't be a negative from Kevon Lee. So I would expect him to be the best back again next week as long as all that continues.
Let's go to the other side of the ball. Let's give Michigan's offense the ball. Cade McNamara, the quarterback, a couple running backs seem to have pretty good numbers. What should we look for from Michigan's offense?
Hassan Haskins and Blake Corum are the offense. They are good. They make up for a lot of mistakes, and they make a lot of things happen. It's what the Penn State running backs were supposed to be this year, I think, for Penn State fans, that they were supposed to make more out of what was there. Because the Michigan offensive line, and this is what I was saying in the first quarter, of they're lining up in the shotgun, they're a spread team, until you get to their offensive line, and Jim Harbaugh refuses to have his guys play in a two-point stance. Like, they're hand in the dirt, they're a traditional offensive line, they run block, they're big, they're physical, but I don't know that they're very talented. I don't know that they're particularly up to the size and strength level that they present. But again, it's a weakness for Penn State, and that is at any point during the rest of this season, something that a team can take advantage of if those guys aren't playing at their highest on the Penn State defensive line. So it's going to be a lot on the linebackers and Jaquan Brisker to corral Hassan Haskins, because I think you can get negative plays. I think you can get behind the line of scrimmage on these guys. They're much more of a power team, counter, man blocking, physical at the point of attack. And as long as the linebackers are free to get there, I think that they can corral this offense and limit the damage of explosive plays. Because other than that, the quarterback's okay. McNamara's okay. He doesn't make mistakes. But there's not anything there from a decision-making or a arm talent or a concept standpoint that I think is anything special for the Michigan offense.
So as a Penn State fan, what we worry about is that they're going to win the line of scrimmage and their running backs are just going to methodically march them down the field, throw in an occasional play-action pass. For this game, T. Frank, spreads, it's anywhere. Pick 'em. I saw someplace Penn State was actually a point favorite. How do you see this game playing out?
I'm going to give Michigan the advantage because they have an overwhelming strength at a point that I think Penn State has a weakness. But yeah, it's. I think it's the same thing. This can go either way. The scheme in the secondary is enough that it might frustrate Sean Clifford to the point of maybe one mistake, one turnover. I could see that happening under pressure. They can get pressure. So at that point, you have Sean Clifford at the disadvantage. I don't know that Penn State can get pressure on Cade McNamara, and they might just be able to play a clean game. Penn State's been playing better, though. Like, they just have been playing much better as a team. The defense has been great, and the offense has been good. You know, despite the fact that I think Penn State fans want more from the offense, they've been good. So I'm not going to say Penn State can't win this game, but I do think the advantage is with the Wolverines as far as their level of talent at key positions and key matchups that Penn State needs to win games. So a field goal advantage maybe, but I think Penn State can win this game for sure.
All right, very good, T. Frank. Stick around. Next quarter, we're going to take your questions and we're going to ask T. Frank. So you're going to want to stay tuned for that. Fans are back and so is tailgating. That means GoPSURV.com is also back. Regular listeners of Keystone Sports know all about it. Drive your car to Happy Valley and an RV is there waiting for you. Tailgate nonstop from Friday to Sunday. Don't hassle with parking as a free shuttle will take you to and from the game. For more info, go to GoPSURV.com or call Mark at 1-800-519-8467.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.